Very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Elder Chu, for taking over pastoral prayer. Sorry for being late. I was at Philadelphia BP Church, 18th anniversary. They are just round the corner on route to Bukit Batok, Trade 21, 10th floor. That's where they worship. This morning, we continue our study on the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 4. The topic is praying for open doors, taken from verse 3, with all praying also for us that God would open us a door of utterance. The Bible teaches us that we need always to pray. And here we are told by the Apostle Paul to pray for open door. What exactly is this open door? There are so many ways to interpret this open door, and one of the ways is to see this as an open door of ministry, for example, in the mission field. If there are governments that do not allow Christians to worship freely, and so we pray for open doors that we can go in there to help them. Very often, that's how we interpret this open door concept. And yet you realize that when the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle, he was not thinking of any foreign missionaries. He was languishing in prison, as he tells us in the last part of verse 3, for which I am also in bonds. It was because of the open door that he ended up in closed door, in prison. He was thrust into prison because of the faith. He did not have the liberty that we enjoy, that we so often take for granted. He knew that he will be in prison. Acts chapters 20, 21, 22, 23 tells us that in fact he had been warned by Agabus when he was in the home of Philip on his way to Caesarea en route to Jerusalem, that you're going to be arrested by your own people, handed over to the Gentiles, please don't go. They begged him, please don't go. And yet, he went. He said that I know it is God's will for me to go. I cannot run away because of the fear of imprisonment. And he begged them in turn, please do not weep for me. Why are you crying like this? Not only am I ready and willing, he says, to go to prison, but I'm also ready and willing to die for my Savior. And so while he was in prison, he wrote these prison epistles, and Colossians was one of them. And he told them about praying for open doors. Have we been praying for open doors? What exactly did he mean when he talked about open door? He said, open door of utterance. That's what he said here. With all, that is, at the same time, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. It is opportunity to speak the word, to talk about the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ simply refers to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God that we read and find in the New Testament in particular. Mystery is not the mystery to be understood like mystery novels, something that you have to search and find out what exactly is the truth. Mystery, whenever it is used in the Bible, simply refers to the word of God that had been kept hidden to be revealed in due time. Now that the time has come for God to reveal the word. And so he continued to use the phrase, the mystery of Christ. That is, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Son of Man who came into this world to die for sinners. And from Paul's perspective, of whom he considered himself to be the chief of sinners. This was the mystery that the apostles of the Old Testament had been longing to see and to know and to find out. They had a glimpse, a glance, but they do not have the clarity that we have today in the New Testament concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Virgin Mary, where he was born, and all the details that we read in the Gospels, how he interacted with the disciples, how he healed so many, how he fed thousands, and how he demonstrated his life of prayer and faith to all the disciples. This he calls the mystery of Christ. And because of the mystery of Christ, He was put into prison. This was the open door explained. And if you look at the verses that we have been studying these past few weeks, you realize that it is based upon what the Bible says in verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. The application of what it means to be a Christian and how we need to relate and regard to one another. And I put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, born nor free, but Christ is all in all. And because of who Christ is to all of us, regardless of our race or our language, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, that is love, which is the bond of perfectness. Of course, charity is love in action. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then he talks about all the different relationships that we find in our experience. He was not just talking about some foreign mission. He's talking about our day-to-day life and our day-to-day encounters when he talks about praying for open doors of utterance where the mystery of Christ can be preached and shared and told to people around us that God will bring into your life. It's not just when you go overseas on mission trip, then you share Christ. You can do it by obeying the word of God. When the wife submit, husband, love, children, obey parents, fathers, provoke not your children, servants, obey your masters, and all these relationships that we call day-to-day life, day-to-day encounters. And then, of course, in verse 1, he talks about how masters ought to conduct themselves. Give unto your servant that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Then he talks about continuing prayer, praying at the same time for open doors of utterance. And because of it, he was found in prison. See, Paul did not have a regular job like us. When the Bible said that he was a tent maker, we today have misunderstood and misapplied and misinterpreted the meaning of the phrase tent making. Today, if you call yourself a tent maker, it means you have a secular job, and then you use a secular job as a means where you do some mission work. For example, if you are posted to China as a school teacher, English school teacher in a university, you will call that a tent making. And then in my spare time, I will share the gospel with people around me in China. That was not Paul's idea of tent making. For there was a time in his life where he did not receive any financial support from the churches that the Lord used him to found in his first and second mission trip. And so because he was in need and the people around him were also in need, and he had a trade, and his trade was making tents. And so he used that brief moment, his particular skill, to earn some money by making tents to support himself as well as some of the poorer folks that he was ministering to. That was it. That was his tent making. He didn't have any full-time job, and so he doesn't have the opportunity to meet people the way many of you meet people when you go out to work. And so when you pray for open doors, it's not just praying for open door in some distant land that you hardly even know anybody there. It's much, much more than that. It includes and it encompasses the people that God brought into your life, where you pray that God will give you an opportunity where you can share the word. Share the word of the mystery of Christ with someone, your colleague, your husband, your wife, your children. Pray that the Lord will open your heart and open their heart to share the gospel, to be sensitive to the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the best way is to do that which God has instructed for us to do. Wives, fulfill your role. Husband, fulfill your roles. Parents, children, slaves, masters, each and every Christian in that respective roles and function were to do what God demands of us. Then when we do all these things in our lives, and then we pray for open doors of utterance where the word of God is preached. Because if you don't live the life of a Christian and you pray for open door of utterance, you are a hypocrite.
You cannot on the one hand preach the word of God and on the other hand you break the word of God. You do more harm than good when you do that. This instruction in verses 2, 3, and 4 came after the long list of guidelines concerning the role and function. So this open door concept is found in our homes, is found in our schools, is found in our places of work. Pray for an open opportunity, in other words, where you can share the gospel with someone. But to do that, you have to live the life of a Christian. Because if you don't, you realize that you do more harm than good. And we have had so many unbelievers giving excuses after excuses after excuses, and more often than not, the same excuse in rejecting Christ. When you share the gospel with them, they will relate to you some past experiences that they had encountered, whether as a schoolboy or whether as a worker in an office. Oh, I have heard enough of you Christians. I've experienced so many of them that have put a bad taste in my mouth. They say one thing and they do another. They talk about the love of God and they show no love. They don't even behave themselves in the way that I would consider better than me, and I'm an unbeliever. They are hypocrite. They call themselves Christians, and they're no better than us. In fact, they are worse. They stab people in the back. They sabotage. They tell lies. They're just as greedy as the next guy. When they go to work, all they care about is how to make more money and more money, and they are in love with promotions and bonuses just like me. What's the difference between a Christian and me? I don't want to listen to your Christ. I'm not interested in Christ. At home, you may have a spouse who is an unbeliever. You may have children who is an unbeliever. You may have teenage children who are unbelievers. And sometimes it is so hard to talk to them about Christ. And so you pray for open doors of utterance, that the Lord may give you an opportunity where you can testify of the goodness and the transforming power of God in your own life. But to do that, you have to follow the verses before this. You cannot just say suddenly, I want to have an open door, Lord, please open a door. You have to live the life of a Christian before you pray for an open door, because the open door simply means you tell people how much Christ means to you, what the power of God has done for you in your life. And so, based upon what God has done for my life, I want to share this same power with you. You cannot just preach the word of God out of some head knowledge whereby you think it is the right thing to say because everybody is doing it, but you don't even believe it in your own life because your life has not been transformed by it. And so you and I cannot just take chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and that's it without considering the whole sequence of arguments and development from chapter 1 and how he dealt with the doctrine, and then now he comes to the application part of what it means to be a Christian, and how we need to have our minds and our hearts focused as a Christian to pray for open doors of utterance. They don't just come. Very often we are very ashamed and afraid to even share the gospel with our own children. Is that not true? Afraid that they may react and respond in a negative way. They're not shared with our colleagues, afraid that they might get hurt and they might scold me and humiliate me and make me lose my friendship, my peace in the office. And so you are a secret Christian. You're ashamed. You dare not even tell people about Christ. How sad, isn't it, to live like that? You know you ought to do it. The Spirit of God prompts you and bring conviction to your heart, and you just simply don't have the courage to just speak up and tell people, and you dare not even pray openly before you take your meal and you have lunch with your colleagues. And some of us as school friends, you're afraid how to pray for an open door of utterance, to tell people about the mystery of Christ. Very difficult, isn't it? We have been studying the book of Colossians these past few weeks. God willing, we may finish this, and God willing, next month, we're going to study the book of First Thessalonians, another important book. That one will focus on the second coming, on the resurrection, on the rapture. But this was a prison epistle written to deal with some church problems, very particular church problems. And these problems, and I'm sure we face. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Is it very hard to do? To love your husband and to submit to them? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and do not be bitter toward them. Do not be bitter, but love them truly. Tell them that I love you. Is it so hard to say? Well, you say, well, Asians don't say such things. Yeah, you're Asian, I agree. You don't say such things as Asian. But you are also Asian Christians. Tell them. Tell our wives that we love them. When was the last time you tell your wife that you love her? Truly love her. And show it by your transformed life, by your changed life. And wives, submit to your own husbands. You see, it's very hard to pray for open door when we don't live like Christians. Because if we don't live like Christians, how to pray for open door? Because praying is talking to God. And when you talk to God, and God knows that you don't mean it, He's not going to listen. He's not going to answer. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 66, verse 18, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord won't hear our prayers. And wives who do not submit to your own husband as if unto the Lord, and do it willingly, cheerfully, happily, with much love and prayer, your prayers will not be heard by God. And husbands who do not love the wives as Christ loved the church with an unconditional sacrificial love, you won't even pray for open door of utterance even to your own children, to your own wife. You don't. Because you have not been practicing what you are supposed to according to scriptures. And God will not hear your prayers. God is not mocked by our showmanship and our veneer of godliness and spirituality. We come to church, we dress like Christians, we carry our big fat Bible, and we even talk Christian talk. But God is not impressed by all these show. God knows exactly what is in our heart, and He knows your life and my life better than all of us combined together. He knows exactly what we are going to ask even before we ask it. He knows what is the motive behind why we ask such things. And so, we cannot just study about praying for open doors if we are not prepared to live the life according to the utterance of the Word of God. Because we are not just praying for open door for business. Paul is not praying for open door that you can go in there and make millions. No such thing. That would be foolish. That would be short-sighted because this world will perish. Paul says, pray for an open door of utterance where the mystery of Christ can go out into the world. Pray for opportunities, in other words, to preach the word, to tell people about Christ. Sometimes we fill our pockets with tracts and we do that to soothe our conscience and we feel good about that, but we don't give out the tract. You pray for open door. Open door of utterance to speak a word for Christ. Do you think we can start tomorrow? Or maybe right now. Do you really, really want to pray for an open door of utterance to tell somebody about Christ? Lord, please help me. Help me, Lord, to have the courage to tell someone about Christ, to tell a Christian who may be in sin about Christ, about the Word of God. Don't just limit it to the gospel, dear friends. Don't just limit it to the gospel. Extend it and include also the brother and sister kinship that we must have toward one another and be one another's keepers. You see a brother in sin, we come and ask with much prayer, Lord, please grant me the words and the opportunity to speak to this sister, this brother, the word. And give me the boldness and the courage to deal with sin and call sin what sin really is. Don't sweep it under the carpet by using euphemism. Sin is sin. Don't hide it behind an alternate lifestyle. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It is a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. And when they decriminalize it, and it will come, because the Bible tells us the world will turn into one giant Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom was a city filled with the sin of homosexuality and fornication. And the only safeguard that we can have in protecting our children from this terrible global sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else. He is the ark of our time, just as the ark was Noah's time to deliver him and his family from the global flood. This global contamination by sin can only find its safety in Christ. No one else, nowhere else. Pray for an opportunity to speak for the Lord, to teach our children. We occupy our children with so many, many, many hours preparing them for this world. And you have heard this before, and we will continue to say it. Why? Because we keep doing it. We pray for their protection, we pray for their safety, we pray for so many things. By all means, pray for all these things. But pray for an open door of utterance where you can tell someone about Christ. Servants, how should you conduct yourself? Obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleases, but in singleness of heart fearing God. You know how hard to do that in the working world? Remember when I was in the army, we have one sergeant major, company sergeant major, or battalion sergeant major, can't remember. He has a nickname, he's called Mad Dog. Mad Dog is coming, Mad Dog is coming. Well, the moment Mad Dog is coming, everybody pretends to be busy. The moment Mad Dog disappears, we laze around, we fool around, we sit down, we relax. Mad Dog is coming, Mad Dog is coming. Wow, they all pretend. Army star. And we carry this on into our working world. Is that not true? With eye service, man pleases. My boss is watching, I better pretend to work hard. But God says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. In those days, a servant, down here the word used there is a slave, doulos, plural douloi. He is like a walking animal. That's it. The only difference between him and a four-legged animal is that the four-legged animal walks on four legs, he walks on two legs. That's it. He had no right. He will have to do everything that the master tells him with no expectation of even a word of thank you. He will work throughout the entire day in the hot afternoon sun looking after the landlord's vineyard or wheat field, whatever it is. And then when dinner time comes, he will be called back and he will have to prepare dinner. And after he had prepared a dinner, he will have to stand at the corner there, watch the landlord and his family eat the meal. And if they have a voracious appetite, they'll eat everything up and that's about it. You have nothing. You eat whatever that's left over. At the end of it, they won't say thank you to you. The next day, you do the same thing over again and over again. If he's not happy, he'll beat you. And that's it. And under this kind of environment, this kind of circumstances, God said, servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, the masters of the flesh. You obey them. As a Christian, that means your master may not be a Christian, but as a Christian servant, Christian slave, you obey. And whatsoever you do it heartily, yes, unto the Lord and not unto men. Don't do it unto men. Don't do it unto men because men will only pay you dollars and cents, which will be destroyed. Do it unto the Lord, which will reward us eternally, constrained by the love of Christ. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it and do it cheerfully, happily. I was told that we have many, many students for the DVBS. Is it true? Many. But we don't have enough people to help. We don't have enough people to help. Do you know how wonderful it is to serve God and to help especially teach children? Yeah, they will drive you crazy. But at the end of every day, you're going to be exhausted because they are bundles of energy. They don't walk. They run from point A to point B. Somehow their muscles are not tuned to walk. They're tuned to run. No. Every time just run. And you just, as you grow older, you get slower, they get faster. End of the day, it's a very, very satisfying kind of tiredness. Very satisfying. You serve the Lord, you look at these young ones, you look at them, you sit down, you look at them. For that few days, you have the privilege of helping to shape and to mold some young lives with the Word of God for that few days. And what you do can impact them for all eternity by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you pray. You pray that God will use you to be that open door of utterance to these young ones, to share with them the mystery of Christ. But to do that, our day-to-day life must be one like that of our Savior. If we have not been walking with Christ, it is very, 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 very hard to suddenly switch on this light. Now I'm a Christian, now I want to live for you. You can't. I agree with you, you can't. But to do that, you have to love Christ every day of your life, every moment of your life. And when He is consciously part of your life, serving the Lord in DVBS and all these activities, it will be just a joy. Just a joy. So wonderful, so happy. Because Christ is so real to you. So wonderful. Because He is with you by your side all the time. And so you commune with Him, you talk with Him. And so praying for an open door comes natural. Natural. But if you have not been living for Christ, if you have not behaved yourself like what Christian servants ought to, Christian masters ought to do, why masters give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. You know how hard it is for them to do that, for masters to give to their servants just and equal? Because it is within their legal right to take advantage of them. And Bible says you treat them like a human being, just and equal. Don't treat them like slaves, even though they are slaves. Because you are a Christian and you have a master in heaven watching over you. Use God as your example. Did God treat you that way? No, then you don't treat others this way as a Christian. Even though it may be your right to do it, you don't take advantage. Many of us have servants, maids. Some of us call them aunties. How have you been treating them? Just and equal? Do you pray for an open door of opportunity to witness to them about Christ? Very hard, isn't it? Because we don't do it. So how to pray for something that I don't plan to do, I don't want to do. I don't want to do. Pray that the Lord will keep the door open. To keep this door open. Continue in prayer, watching in the same with thanksgiving. Because it's not easy. The deceitfulness of riches can cause many to wane and to give up. The burdens and the cares of family life can cause us to wane and to give up. It's so easy to be sidetracked. It's so easy and it's so common because we are surrounded by people who are sidetracked. And it is so common to just flow with the tide and just go along with the rest of humanity. You go to school and you talk to mothers and fathers and what comes out of their mouth are just children in this school, and we're all caught up by this. You go into the working world, it's a rat race, and all you occupy your mind would be the things of the world with stocks and shares and business and projects of the projects of the project. It's so difficult. That's why Paul says, continue in prayer. It's in the present tense. That's why the King James translators put in the word continuous. Continue in prayer. You must be steadfast in your prayer life. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't ever, ever give up. Don't ever give up. That's why we thank God for the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is to remind us exactly who we are. We have it once a month. Perhaps you need it more, maybe not often enough. Huh? To remind us exactly who we are, what we are here on earth for. Or else we will not be like the Apostle Paul praying for an open door of utterance. We pray for better jobs, yes. Pray for health, yes. Pray for children's safety, they're overseas, the Lord will keep them and protect them. Pray for so many things, but if you look at it very carefully, many of these things are earthbound. Earthbound, truly. We pray for their good results in their exams. We pray that the Lord will save my job when there is a retrenchment exercise. But they are very earthbound. Where is the spiritual dimension in what we pray for? Paul lost everything. He was languishing in prison. He has no bank account. He has no home address. He didn't even have the outer garment to keep him warm. He didn't even have the Bible with him. He wrote to Timothy, please come quickly. Please come quickly and give me my parchment that I may read the word, that I may have the word. He lost everything. He had absolutely nothing. In fact, compared to all of us, we are very, very rich compared to him. The Bible said, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. While he was in prison, he lost everything, and what comes into his mind was praying for more open doors that I may continue to preach. Doesn't matter whether I'm in prison or not. Doesn't matter, because he was consumed by this one goal and one desire that wherever God would put him, whether in prison or in freedom, he will preach the word of God. He will tell people the mystery of Christ, the love of God in Christ Jesus. He will contend for the faith. He will do all that is necessary that the Lord would call him to do, to preach the whole counsel of God. And that's why he could pray from his heart. And he lost his freedom because of the mystery of Christ. Because he preached the word of God, he lost his freedom. And so when he said, praying, at the same time, pray for us. Pray also for open doors of utterance. He meant it. It was not just something theologically correct that he said. He meant every word of it because by his life, he believed in what he preached. He believed in what he prayed and he lived it out. And that's why he says, praying, praying, keep on praying, continue to pray, continue steadfastly. Don't give up praying, praying and watching in the same with thanksgiving. With joy, with thanksgiving. Oh, what a wonderful life, the life of a Christian. How joyous and how liberating it is to know that this peace that we have, this joy that we have, the purpose of living, not just like the many unbelievers in the world, no purpose in living. Their purpose in living is what? Buy a bigger house, buy a bigger car, that they can go on any holiday without a second thought. I mean, if these are the purposes for our existence, how sad, isn't it? Because they can be easily arrived. Okay, then you have a bigger car, and then what? Why don't you want a bigger house, a bigger car, and then what? And a bigger house, and then what? And then before you know it, you're lying on the deathbed with only a few more minutes to live. And then when you look back on your life, emptiness, zero. Vanity of vanities, all of vanities. But when you are a Christian, you wake up every morning, you have a goal, you have a purpose that you know will last for eternity. You serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are a child of God, a son and a daughter of the Most High God. When you look at yourself in the mirror, don't indulge in self-pity. As a wife, you learn to submit to your husband. Pray for open doors of utterance where you can be the best godly wife that God could ever make you to become. And for a husband, be the best godly husband that God can cause you to become to your wife. That you may speak the word and encourage one another to walk together, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. That's a wonderful relationship. For a servant to the master to the servant, friend to friend, when you serve the Lord, your life is full of purpose and significance and meaning. And when our life is truly such, praying for an open door of utterance becomes the logical conclusion, the outcome, the result of what it means. We pray that the Lord will bless this coming church camp with great abundance where we can have fellowship with one another to know one another better and to meet new friends. And at the same time, to grow in the Word of God, to encourage one another through the study of God's Word and through prayer. There are many who will make sure that church camps are a must in their annual calendar. For others, church camp is a no-no in their annual calendar. Why? Church camp is just an extended Lord's Day. That's how I define it. Church camp is just an extended Lord's Day. A Lord's Day is a foretaste of heaven. The only difference is, in heaven there will be genuine believers, all believers. Difference is Sunday, mixture of believers and unbelievers. That's the saddest part. The unbelievers. You come to church week after week, week after week, week after week. We are very much like those who helped Noah build the ark. They knew the ark inside out. They knew there were three levels. They knew the nooks and the corners. They knew the outside there would be pitch to make it waterproof. Inside there would be pitch, that is tar, to make it waterproof. They knew every nook and every corner, and they did it for money. Were they in the ark? No. It's like someone, you know everything about Christianity. You know why we give tithe and offering. You know baptism. You know Lord's Supper. You know everything about Christianity, but you are not a Christian. How sad. How sad. So very sad. And for us as Christians, church camp is an extended Lord's Day. But we come together and we meet and we eat together, we fellowship together day in, day out. We leave the cares of the world behind because that's what we're going to do in heaven. Eternal sweet fellowship. You're not going to get into your car and drive back to some part of Singapore. From heaven you drive down. You're not going to leave. We're going to be together forever and ever and ever and ever, and all we're going to talk about is are the things of God. We're going to worship Him, we're going to see Him, we're going to enjoy Him forever. You know how great and how marvelous and how wonderful it is? And the Lord's Day is like that. It's to be like that. Don't drag your feet. Don't treat it as a chore. And in order to do that, you have to live as like a Christian from Monday to Saturday. You have to be very conscious of Christ's presence in your life from Monday to Saturday, so that Sunday will be a glorious and wonderful, wonderful experience. Because one Sunday will be the last. True? One Tuesday night prayer meeting will be the last. Either we die or the Lord comes. It will be our last. So don't treat it as a chore. Treat it as a delight and as a joy. Praying for open doors of utterance is always a privilege, a joy, and an honor to be the mouthpiece that the Spirit of God may use us to encourage a brother or sister in Christ, to lead someone to Christ, to defend God's word. There's so much we can do. And God says, you are my son, you are my daughter, and I've given you this honor and this privilege to be the singular purpose of your life, of your existence. Don't lose sight of this. Don't lose sight of it. Paul loved it. The moment he met with the Lord on the road to Damascus, this became his new focus. And he never shifted. Why? You know why? He struggled like all of us. You turn to Philippians chapter 3. How was he able to pray continuously for open door of utterance? Philippians 3. Okay, Philippians 3. Just a few pages before you find Philippians, because Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he said, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, that's according to ritual, he was number one. Of the stock of Israel, according to race, also number one. Of the tribe of Benjamin, according to rank, also number one. I know which tribe I came from, do you guys know? And Hebrew of Hebrews, according to tradition, number one. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Self-righteousness, self-attainment, number one. And all these things meant the world to him when he was a persecutor of Christians. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, good works, which is in the law, he was blameless. But after conversion. But what things were gained to me, what all these things which I thought meant so much, so important to me, he said, I counted loss for Christ. This is written in the perfect tense. That means in the past, I have counted them as dung. I have counted them as nothing because of Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count, that is present tense. That means in the past, at the time of my conversion, I regarded all these things which meant so much to me once upon a time as dung, as useless, zero, finish. And he says, I continue to count. That means he struggled. He struggled with this, like all of us struggle. Yea, doubtless, and I count, present tense. The first one counted, past, perfect. Past tense, done, and continue to count. Present, I daily counted. All things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You see, to count all the things as loss and do not replace them with the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, we will go back to the world. Whatever we reject and turn away, we must replace it with something that is beneficial. Because we have time in our hands. Okay, let's say I count all this as done. But what do I do now with my tense? What will be my motivation? What will be my goal and my aim and my purpose for living? If all these things are meaningless, so what do I replace it with? If you do not replace it with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go back to them and even much, much more Will you long for these things? We have to give them up and continue to surrender them and replace them with the pursuit of the knowledge of the excellency of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he did that. And remember, the Apostle Paul was the one whom God used to give us the most number of epistles in the New Testament. And look at what he says. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And do count, he says, them but dung, in order that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting, continue to forget those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I have not arrived. Every day I continue to study more and know more and more and more and more and more of Christ. And he was the one whom God used to give us the most number of inspired scriptures in the New Testament. And he said that I continue to learn so much more. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. So much more to learn. In other words, you want to pray for an open door of utterance, and we pray that all of us who have this kind of prayer for spiritual things, who have the courage to speak the word to someone, then we have to know the word. You and I cannot count the things of the world as dung, as loss, if we do not pursue after the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. We have to be good students of God's word, in other words, because if we don't, we're going to go back to the world like a dog going back to its own vomit. God delivered us from all these things. Why do we want to go back to these things? If we go back to these things, please, brethren, check our own salvation. Check our own salvation. If we truly are born again, truly know what it means to be a Christian, why are we going back to the ways of the world which we know will perish? Are they very attractive? Yes, we don't deny that it's attractive, because it is very attractive to this carnal, fleshly body of ours. It is. It is. And to make sure that we don't go back, we must replace it with something far, far better. And Paul says, it is the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Spend time studying the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. We have ABC, adult Bible class. We have Dickie's Word for people to study. But how many of us really take time to study God's Word? We have FEBC night classes. How many of us really take time to seriously study God's Word? We have many Bible studies. We have contact groups. We make as much as possible all the avenues available for people to study God's word. But how many of us just open the scriptures on Sunday for responsive reading and that's it? And we call ourselves Christians. And to pray for an open door of utterance where the mystery of Christ can be shared with someone, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You may ask. That's true, isn't it? Because our life is so, so devoid of the presence of Christ. Consciously, we are so occupied by the affairs of the world, we don't even have room to think about Christ. How sad. How sad. Look at the world. It's turning, brethren. It is turning. Every day you read the newspaper, it is turning, turning, slowly turning, turning, turning. Turning to what? Turning to exactly what God said the world will become. Sodom and Gomorrah. It's turning. It will come, dear friends. And the only safety feature is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And your friends, your loved ones need Christ Jesus our Lord. He doesn't need your money. They need Christ Jesus our Lord. Our children, they don't need our money. They need Christ Jesus our Lord. Your friends, they don't need your sweet words. They need Christ Jesus our Lord. Please pray. Pray for an open door of utterance in our homes, in our schools, in our places of work, And of course, pray also for foreign missions. Pray. Because this is what Christianity is all about. To what extent? To Paul, I am prepared to sacrifice my freedom and my life in order to tell people about Christ. What about us? What about us? What have we sacrificed for Christ Jesus our Lord? We don't even give an inch, and somebody asks us to go a mile. Jesus says, you go 2 miles. When somebody step on our toes, we step back twice. When somebody slapped me once, we slap back twice. How to be a Christian to tell people about Christ? Dear friends, let us examine our salvation. Let us find out what is our heart's condition. What means everything to us? Is it truly the Lord Jesus Christ? Then let it be seen by the way that we live day by day. Let it be seen by our relationship at home, in school, in our places of work. And when all these things fall into place, pray. Pray for open doors of utterance where we can tell Christ. Paul says, of which I'm now in bonds. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast placed us in the 21st century in Singapore for a time such as this, as Your blood-bought children, to have a purpose in life that the world does not know nor understand, a purpose that is in the spiritual realm that You have given to us through Holy Scriptures, to be a witness and a testimony of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And we pray, Father, that You will help us to begin at home, for every husband and wife, every father and child relationship. Help us, Father, to live according to Holy Scriptures, that we may truly cry from the depths of our hearts that Thou will grant us more open doors of utterance, where the mystery of Christ may be shared. We pray, Father, also, as students going out to schools, as adults going out to work, may Thou help us to realize the higher purpose and calling You have given to each and every one of us. Not just to make money, to keep body and soul together, but to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. O Lord, may this truly be real in the hearts and lives of all Thy people. We pray once again, Father, for the camp which begins tomorrow, for the many who have signed up. We pray, Father, for the protection upon all the campus. Some have already gone there, some leaving today, others tomorrow. May Thou grant us traveling mercies there and back. And we pray above all, Father, that Thou will prepare all the hearts of the campus, that we may know that it is a time of spiritual encouragement with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as a time where we meet with Thee through the study of Thy holy word. And may the camp, O Lord, be used by Thee to be the transforming power to change lives, that upon our return, we may know that we have met with Thee, and we may continue to live for our Savior. O Lord, the day whereby we can serve Thee are truly numbered. We pray, Father, that You will forgive us for the many times we have not lived the way we ought to have lived, for husbands, for wives, for children, for parents, for masters, for servants. Help us, Father, to know what it means to be a Christian, not just in words, but in our lives, in our relationship one with another. And when we live for Christ and like Christ, may our prayers continuously be a prayer that Thou will grant to us open doors of utterance, that the mysteries of Christ may be shared with our loved ones. O Lord, make us a blessing. For Jesus' sake, hear our humble cry. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.